The rest of you, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Children's Church, you're welcome to go. And the rest of us, on the back table back there, and some of you have asked a question or two about this, and so I kind of worked on this week and came up with this. We think about when we're reading the books of the Bible, how do we read them, and as we come to an epistle, which is a letter, I wanted you to think about it. You know, when we read through 1 Corinthians, and say, well, I don't understand it. I don't know what the flow is. I don't understand it. So what I did was I did an outline, and maybe your Bible's got one. Some of them do and some of them don't, but on the back table there's an outline of breaking the major topics of the book down and things. What you're going to see on this outline is this that we're reading today is kind of Paul's first question has been brought up, and he's going to deal with it from here through 421. So we've got nearly four chapters that's dealing with this issue, and it's all relating back. So when we're reading in 4:6 and realize, hey, that's dealing back with what we're talking about at the very first of the book. Now when we move forward, like with what Blake read this morning in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, you've got to realize Paul's just talked about the spiritual gifts and talks a lot about them in chapters 12, 13, and 14. And so then he says, now the most important thing above all else is the gospel. And here's what that is. And so we see the flow of it. And so I've got that back there for you. And I want you to realize as we come to that, the importance of it. Now, I'm not going to pick on anybody today. I'm picking on everybody. Okay? Because as I open this book and as you're turning to the passage that we're going to talk about, Paul's going to deal with this issue. And you'll think, well, that really doesn't affect me. Well, let's just come into our world today, and I'm going to pick a little generation maybe ahead of some of us, but you know, there's that talk out there amongst some of us that like to discuss this issue that I'm a Calvinist, I'm an Arminian, I don't have a clue what that means, and I'm a Christian. Or there's those that want to say that I go to the Cowboy Church, I go to the Emergent Church, I go to the Traditional Church, I go to whatever I want to go to, and things. Or there's this other line of, I follow Francis Chan. I follow David Platt. For those of you that are like me, that's gray-headed and don't know who either one of those young guys are, I follow Billy Graham, R.C. Sproul, John Piper, John Calvin, Martin Luther. You know, we got somebody that we're going to read everything that person says. Or maybe it's one of those that's on TV. And I don't want to pick on any of them, but there's one guy that if he comes on at 8 o'clock every night, you're going to watch him. And if he says it, it's higher than this. Well, you know, we do that. And sometimes we do it with our football teams. Some of us like green and yellow. Some of us that know more about it like we used to, the blue and silver. I'm even questioning now if I like the blue and silver. Okay, but my maroon and white, I like. Okay, but there's those things that we deal with in this. You know, or maybe it's, you know, I want all praise worship. And I want them now. I want them right, what they're making off the press right now, that's what I want. Or I want all hymns. Or I want it with only guitar, drums, and hard rock. Or rap. Or I want it piano and organ, because that's the only way it's supposed to be. Or I don't want either one of them, I just want to sing praises. See, we got all of our divisions, and I'm going to get on to another one in just a moment as I move through this. But, you know, just so you know that I'm going to hit everybody. So if I've missed you, get ready, you're coming. Okay? But Paul's dealing with a question very similar to that as we come to this passage today, and I want us to realize something, that division is not of God. Now, this is the one that I may get all of you on. Right now, meeting in Bells, Texas, we've got more churches than we need. As of this morning, and maybe a couple of weeks ago, there's a new church meeting in the Bells School District. Like we needed another one, because there's about 12 that meets in the Bells School District. You know, what is that saying to a person that's never known Jesus Christ? Now, I believe most of the people we witness to are a separate group, so I'm going to talk about them in a moment. But somebody that has no clue about Jesus Christ, what do they do if they move to Bells or any other little town? But they say, I want to know about Jesus. So they open their phone book and they say, church, Christian church. And they see Methodist, a block over Baptist, Two blocks down the street, Baptist, but they're missionary Baptist. Down the street, there's the Church of Christ. Out that way, there's another Baptist that's the same as that Baptist. 2 miles that way, there's another First Baptist. The only difference in their name is Savoy or Bells. We go out this way, we've got Antioch, we've got Cherry Mountain, we've got all of these churches, and now the new one that really gets me, I mean, I'm just on a soapbox today, okay? But you have a church that God has planted in Sherman, Texas. Now, you're a satellite of another church in Allen, which that's a whole other story, but you're in Sherman, and you're going to close your doors because you can't fill up the building in Sherman. But God says, we want a church in Sherman. I mean, if you followed God, like the people did that founded First Baptist Bells, they said there needs to be a church in Bells for Baptists, and that's what was founded. You were in Sherman. Now you're moving to this, toward Neal Road in Bells, Texas. You know how hard it is to find Ward Neal Road in Bells, Texas? I mean, that's named after my great uncle. I know where it's at. Everybody on one side of the street all have Neal as their genetic makeup. But most people don't know. And if you were in Sherman, now you're going to be in a church in Bells. That don't make sense to me. I just don't see God in it. Now, maybe he is, and if he is, that's great. But we got too much division already. Okay? So let's look at that. That's what Paul's dealing with here in this passage. So now that I've done my introduction, let's stand and read God's Word, and I'll really get excited. Chapter 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division or split among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there is a contention among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Verse 13, I think you should highlight, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or was he you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Caius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. Now, verse 17, very important verse here that's going to build the rest of this theme that he's going to talk about. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you today. We seek you, guide and direct us in all that we do, that we glorify your precious Son, Father. I pray that we would understand the importance of this passage and guide and direct us in all that we do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning in our Sunday school classes, some of our classes are going through a book. And Michael Catt, the gentleman that his church has all those movies out of Facing the Giants and those like Courageous and things, he made this statement in their own revival and things, and he says this, the problem in America is not more churches, it is the absence of the power of the Holy Spirit in our churches. We don't need more churches, we need God to use our churches. We've got to be used by God. And so I want us to, what's causing that to happen, I think, is some of this division. So as we come to this verse, and you see on the board behind me, it says, now I plead. Now the Greek is in the parentheses there, parakloa, which means I urge, I appeal, I want you to understand. Now, Paul has already said in the last 2 weeks of sermons that I've preached in verses 1 through 9 that because of Jesus Christ, I'm an apostle, I'm given the word of God, and so now I'm urging you as that apostle, as I've got authority in doing that, as the leader, the one that planted the church, as the one God called to tell you, and he's used Jesus Christ's name 9 times, in verses 1 through 9, and he's going to use it in this paragraph. So he's saying, it's not about me, but I urge you, I plead with you, pay attention. Listen up. I think the church in America today needs to be urged to do that. Now, the verse that really kind of struggles with me, and I have to think through this, is when he uses the term brethren. So he's saying that all of these folks that he's going to be writing this epistle to are brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ. He's using it in that term. So when I use brethren, I'm talking about the church as a whole, okay? So the opinion, now there's going to be some he's going to say cast out as we move through the epistle. But right here he's saying brethren. So this division is not one that's causing to the point of really salvation, but it's something that needs to work. I think that there's some good things in what's going on, but we've got to be very careful that we find those things that are there. But in the name of Jesus Christ. So he's calling the power of Christ into this, that they listen to him. They pay attention to what he's saying. That we all speak the same thing. Now, I want to get myself in a deep water right here, because I'm going to get into it in a moment just the same. But anyway, I'm going to make a statement, and I want it'll be recorded so anybody can hear it. I believe the denominations are not of God. Up until the 1600s, we only had two groups, Greek Orthodox and Catholicism. Then we become the Reformation, and we got to put in man. In the Enlightenment years, man was supreme. The problem was we forgot to consult God, who is supreme. And we began to break off into these smaller groups because we didn't like some kind of small doctrine. I want you to understand something. What he's saying of once the same mind is what Blake read. I encourage you to highlight the gospel and what he says it is. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Any group that calls itself a church that believes that he's the only way, that he died on that cross as the Son of God, was buried and rose the third day, we are the church. We're together in this. But our problem is we sit here and say, well, I'm Southern Baptist. But the problem with us Baptists is we got missionary, we got independent, faith fellowship, we got I don't know what Baptist, but I'm a Baptist. You know, we got enough Baptists, we don't know what we are. And then, like I said, we got Southern Baptists, a half a dozen right here in Bells. Now, I understand the principle because that's where the local school was. I see it. But we all ought to be coming together. But then within it, we got Baptist, then we got Methodist, then we got the Church of Christ, and then we got the Lutheran, and then we got Pentecostal, Assembly of Gods, and then we got that group that I love. Now, this is the group I really like. I'm non-denominational. The only problem is they got a group called the non-denominational churches. You're a denomination, you just put non in it, it don't make sense. That's not what God wanted. Because when we get to heaven, it's not going to matter that Bill Neal was Southern Baptist. It's going to matter whether or not I believed in Jesus Christ. It's going to matter. Did he affect my life that I'm changed to be holy like he is? We sung the song, holy, 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 as the deer pants for the water. You know, are we panting after God? Are we more about who we're a part of than we are about Jesus Christ? That's what Paul is dealing with. We ought to have one thing. I want you to understand, when I do marriage counseling and I talk to couples, the point is there's going to be some things in the marriage that are worth dying for. And for two individuals, there's two separate things sometimes. Maybe honesty for one and companionship for another. So if that's part of the issue, you need to understand that. But maybe finances and the other part is way down here. Well, we can agree down here. Church, we can agree on how we dunk them in the water. Whether we sprinkle them or whether we go down. There's no separation that Jesus is the only way. If God said that's what you got to do, I believe you ought to do it. Okay? Now, I'm a firm believer in this part right here, that the baptism follows salvation. Salvation is repentance that takes place through Jesus Christ. You know, as much as I love my grandson and my future granddaughter, and I want them to be saved, there's no way that we're going to baptize them until they're old enough to make a decision on their own to choose Jesus. And that's got to take place. We've got to come to that knowledge. And that's one that I will die for. Marriage, I will die for. God said man and woman. Adam and Eve, those are something we ought to die for. The church in America, if we'll get the power of God through the Word of God, we will change it. Revival will break out. We ought to be going together and working on more of doing this together. And seeing that, so that's what he's talking about of this. It's the same thing. See that as we look at this passage. I told you I was going to get excited and it's already hot up here. Second part of verse 10. I'm going slow, I know. And that there may be no division among you. The Greek word again is there, skatema, which is, it can be translated split or division. We see back in John chapter 7, verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him, Jesus. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. That Greek word there, one of the translations of it, or the meaning of that Greek word, is as if a net, a fisherman's net, was ripped, or to render asunder, to tear apart. And so he's saying that there's something that you've got to put it back together. There's something going on. There's a division. I'm going to tell you something. The split in churches shouldn't be happening. We all ought to be coming together. Now, I understand. You know, my problem is, and I think this is where we as the church in America need to realize. When I talk about you going out and witnessing, and every Christian should witness. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is for every believer. If you're not witnessing, you need to get that straightened out. Okay? And witnessing is many topics. That's probably going to be a sermon series in the coming days. But the fact is we've got to be witnessing. But our way of witnessing, I think, in Bells needs to change, because I said a couple of weeks ago that a survey showed that 78% of Americans believe that they know Christ. I would say in Bells that number is higher. So I don't need to tell them about Jesus because they know him, but they say that they're Christians. My problem is, why are there empty pews in churches? Why do we have to create another church when there's plenty for you to go find? You know, why do we have to go somewhere else when God calls us here? And then we get upset because, well, that church brought in a guitar. We ain't done it that way in forever. Well, the guitar and that thing's about the same thing. I'm not real smart, but they both got strings. They're both stringed instruments. One's only got five, I think. I don't know what Jeff's has got. I can't count that high. But we get all upset over these little things. There shouldn't be those things in there. Our purpose is to witness to the lost, to be here for them, and bring them in. That's what God's telling. And that's what I love about the Greek, because then it says, but thankful, perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. That Greek word there, that's a rather long word there, is again, it comes from the part of mending a net. So he said, there shouldn't be any split, but we've been put together. Now, how have we been perfectly put together? Believe me, the only way most of us in this room can sit here as brothers and sisters is because of him. Because some of us have got the flesh. Some of us were raised in a generation that there was separation of certain people. And our problem is we bring it in. Well, I don't like them because their hair is different than mine. It sticks up everywhere. I don't like them because they don't wear the right kind of clothes to church. I'm going to tell you something. The clothes, they don't matter to the person. That door is open for anybody that wants to come in. We're not going to run anybody off from the church. Now, we might not put them in leadership because of something in their life, but we're here to reach the people of Bells, Texas. Whatever they look like, whatever they smell like, whatever they drive, we're to love them and to minister to them and show them Christ. The only Christ most of them see is you. 6 days a week they see how you live. Are they seeing Christ in you? And so he's saying that we're perfectly put together. We're joined together, and we should have the same mind and the same judgment. Folks, the thing about it, this is what we should be preaching and teaching. And if we're not preaching and teaching this, then we got a problem. But as long as the church is reading out of this book and applying it, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because I'm going to sit in heaven with them. And it's not going to matter that I was Southern Baptist and they were Missionary Baptist, or that they were Church of Christ. It's going to matter that I fell in love with Jesus Christ and he loved me enough to die for me. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because of what I did, but because of what he did. So we've got to see that as we're talking through it and understand it. Now, like I said, I've got through verse 10, now we'll get to verse 11. For it has been declared to me that contentions among you. Paul somehow found this out. Now, as we look at that verse, we see that there was a lady's a house called Chloe's household. had reported. And he says, brethren, there's this contention going on. He's heard this. Now, let's think about this. This letter is sent to the church at Corinthians. Paul is in Ephesus, and that's probably where Chloe lived at, and she probably traveled, or somebody in her household had traveled to Corinth because of the trading market, had got the word about how that takes place. You know, just let's come to the real world. Let something bad happen, everybody knows about it. Bells cannot make the news media for winning an egg show, for winning, I'm trying to think of something here. But you know what I'm trying to say. Our academics do real well. Our kids do real well in something. We don't make the news on that. We might got a little bitty something over in the corner, you know. If you call and get your kid's name, you might get it in there. But boy, you let something bad happen, and 12 and 10 and everybody else is on our front doors wanting to know, well, what's going on? Bad news makes the press. Well, that's what happens in churches. I'll guarantee you, we get down, we start talking about building a building, and we decide we want blue cheers on that side and maroon cheers on that side, and nobody gets happy. That'll be the coffee shop talk, and the topic will be hotter than the coffee. Well, did you hear what they're doing at First Baptist? They got a fight going on down there. Yeah, the only fight I want is I want to fight the devil and I want to win. And the only way I'm going to do it is through Jesus. But see, if we're doing that, they don't want to hear about that. But the news has traveled hundreds of miles because of this contention. So Paul's going to address it as one of the leaders of the church. You know, I love this quote from John Calvin when it said, "The Lord admits none into his school but little children." The humbles is what that Latin word means, less humbles. You know, that's what I want us to understand. I mentioned this last time. You know, this church is the hospital for sinners. The hurting and the sick come to the church, and we ought to be the ones that love them and take care of them. We're not the museum for a bunch of crusty old moldy folks. Well, I've been doing it this way forever. I'm going to sit on my pew till the Lord comes back. It don't say that in this book. It says go. Go, go. No matter how old we are or how young we are, go. And just because somebody sits in your pew, I don't want to hear you say, "That's my pew. I've been in that chair since my daddy built it." You know, praise the Lord that you got to sit on the front row one day. You're just closer to me spitting on you. That's all that matters. You get your shower on Saturday night and Sunday morning, both. It doesn't matter. But we ought to be excited that's taking place and see that. So this contention came about, and this is what we're talking about. We see in verse 12 the contention. The thing it says there is there was a group that says, "I'm of Paul. I got saved under Paul's preaching, so I'm of Paul. I got saved under Apollos. I'm going to follow his teaching. I got saved under Caiaphas," Caiaphas being Peter. Sometime Peter may have been to that church at Corinth, and there was a group that followed Peter's teaching. We got a whole group that followed Peter's teaching called the Roman Catholics. They believe Peter was the first pope and things of that. I don't mean to pick on them, I'm just telling you the facts. And then there's that other group. Now, this other group sounds like the group you want to be of when they say, "I'm of Christ." But their problem was, is probably the way they were saying it is, "You three don't know nothing. I got Jesus." You ever met anybody like that? And I can think of some folks coming to mind. That's like, you know, you folks over there, y'all don't know nothing. Y'all's denomination is wrong. Mine's right. I'm non-denominational. I'm just picking on everybody today, okay? So I don't mean that personally, okay? But what I want us to realize is, unless we truly trust in Jesus, I mean, Jesus is the only way, it's not going to matter. And when we do that, we get it out of it. And we're going to see this in chapter 3, verse 1, because he's talking about the flesh. So much of our lives is about the flesh and carnality. And we're going to talk a lot about that when we get into chapter 3, which may take forever, but we'll get there some of the end things. Now, the big thing I like is what he talks about in verse 13. Because as I was reading this again this week and studying and preparing, this one just kind of got me excited about what I've been preaching about. Or not excited, but concerned about what I see in the denomination and why I'm saying it. Because the words are, "Is Christ divided?" Again, let's think of the image I said. Somebody that has never heard of the gospel message, that have no idea what the Bible said. That's a small number in Bells, I understand it. But they come to Bells, and they want to know a true relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what they're seeking. The Spirit is drawing them. Where do they go? I mean, they walk in, they get the phone book out, and they begin to say, look, well, there's all of these churches. Which one's right? And for that person that's never known, that's going to be difficult for them to do it. Now, I think most of the folks in Bells have been to some of these churches, and they've joined that church, and they got their membership, but they don't like that church because those folks didn't like me down there. One of them had a crooked eye look at me and didn't like me that day. So I ain't never going back down there. I'll go over here. The only problem is somebody's got a crooked eye over there, and you're in the same boat. But we do that. And so he says, is Christ divided? I want us to realize that there is only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. And he kind of builds off of that with the way he writes it when he asks the question, was Paul crucified for you? Was Billy Graham crucified for me? No. Was R.C. Sproul a guy I love to read? Nope. There's only been one that was crucified for me. Now, Peter was crucified. Paul's going to die for his faith. But their death was only because of what they believed in. It didn't change anybody else the way the death of Christ did. And that's what he's saying there. Did the Baptist get crucified? For anybody? No, Jesus did. Did John Wesley get crucified for anybody? No, Jesus did. And so as long as that church is preaching my Jesus, and I'm preaching my Jesus, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And it doesn't matter which group I've already got onto, that's what I'm saying. And we've got to come together. And he brings that up, you know, were you baptized in the name of Paul? A key thing that we've got to, you know, I think the thing, and I know there's a group of churches, I brought this up last week, that are saying, well, we'll come together and accept baptism as long as it's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My only problem with that statement was I saw no place in what I read, and they may have, and I may not have read enough, that says that there has to be an acceptance of Jesus Christ. That there has to be a repentance of sin. There has to be a coming to Him. You know, like I said, I can baptize babies all day long, but I've got a problem with them not getting to heaven. Until that person is old enough to make a decision on their own that they've got to have Jesus and understand the sin, the age of accountability and those things, that's what's taking place. And so he talks about that. Now, in the next verses, 14 through 16, Paul kind of builds off of that when he says, you know, I only know of two people for sure that I baptized. And so he's just reinforcing, it's not about me. And then he kind of has a senior moment there, I think, in verse 16, because he said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Now, I know that's not what it says, but that's the redneck in me reading it, okay? Miss Griffin, she would be mad at me, but that's what I read. He says, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. So he remembered, okay, I baptized those two, and he's talked about them now. Oh, yeah, I need to mention that other one and things. But he says, and then he kind of qualifies, but I don't know of anybody else. And then we come to the important verse, verse 17, that I want to dwell on a little bit longer, when he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Christ didn't send the people that started the church at First Baptist Bells on this spot to baptize people and build big buildings without preaching the gospel. That's why I say, if God plants a church in a part of the town and the town, the community changes around it, the church needs to change because God put that church there for a purpose. And like I said, I'll be the first one and I will fight with tooth and nail. If we have an Hispanic population move into Bells, Texas, or another people group that moves in that has another language, that were first-generation people that would have difficulty communicating and learning the gospel message, we're going to have a third service, and it's going to be the Spanish church at First Baptist Bells meeting at X time. Okay? That's what we should be doing. And thanks. And so that's what he's talking about, because we're called to do that. He's saying that, but to preach the gospel. The gospel message has to be preached. Everything that we do is to preach the gospel. And Blake explained that to what the gospel was in the passage that he read. And Paul says, not in wisdom of words. That's part of the problem with the difference between Paul and Apollos. Paul comes and I'm going to preach Jesus. Apollos was one that could speak big words and fancy words. He brought that into how he was doing. You know, it's kind of like going through TV. You can find all kinds of different preachers. See, when God called me to the ministry, he wasn't getting a whole lot, I can tell you that, because my language skills was horrible, and they still are. But he said, I want you to preach my message. And I came to the realization, and it's like I've told you before, if I'm called by someone that I have no idea, I've never met, that they want me to do their funeral, or they want me to come speak, I told the Lord, I said, I'll go, Lord, but all I know to do is read your word. I'm not going to preach somebody into heaven that I don't know that's there, and I'm not going to say they're in hell if I don't know, but I'm not going to tell them they're in either place. But I'm going to say, if you want to know how to get to my heaven, you want to know how to know my Jesus, I'm going to preach the word of God. And that's why my fallback is John 14, 1 through 6. And I'm going to highlight John 14, 6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In red letters, in my King James, and that's Jesus saying it. And folks, that one I'm dying on. And that's what Paul is saying here. It's not about my words, but all I'm going to do is the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. You know, if it's more about filling a stadium and loud music and getting everybody in an uproar and raising your hands or sitting down or standing up or dancing a jig or whatever all that is to get you up where you can do it, I got a problem, because we're making the cross not what it is. We need to preach Jesus. Jesus changes lives. I was reading this morning on Facebook in between the services, and there was a lot of comments on this one place that talked about that we ought to have self-confidence and we ought to be, you know, nobody's bad and all of that. No, Jesus said we're all bad. We're all sinners. The only difference is some of us have found the grace of God. And church, that's what God's calling us to do, to be a part of His family and come to that. Now, Paul's going to deal with the rest of this and even relate back to verse 17 for the rest of the next three chapters. So you're kind of getting, you'll get more of this as we move forward. But in closing, I want to ask you these statements. Do you trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ? You sang the song, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord. You heard Jeff's song, which that song, the first time I heard it, made me weep, and I still weep every time I hear it. Because I think that song really speaks to what a lot of folks in our world in Bells, Texas are like, or Savoy, or wherever you're at. Because a lot of us, we pray to God when something bad happens. We pray, you know, or we're those good Christians that we get us a Easter outfit and we go to church on Easter. And then we're all good children and we go to church on Mother's Day and buy mommy a flower of either red or white color, depending on whether her mommy's alive or dead. And then we got to make it at Christmas, because that's the big one. You know, we're those three times a year Christians. Where would Jesus be on a Sunday? Every time I read in my book about His gospel in those 3 years of His ministry, on the Sabbath, which was Friday night through Saturday, He was in a synagogue teaching and being where God's people were at. If you're a Christian, you ought to be in God's house. And like I said, if you can't get along with us, go find you one you get along with, because there's plenty of them out there. But if they're not preaching Jesus, get out of there in a hurry. And if the preacher's too loud, because I'm just going to get in trouble for what I just did, I'm sorry. But sometimes I get excited. And the fact is we need to get some of the cobwebs out of our head and realize we got to be doing what Jesus wants us to. There's folks in Bells, Texas that need to be in church. And there's plenty of churches for them to be in. Well, church, are we doing? Are we working in the power of the Holy Spirit? We're going to talk more about that as we move forward. So I encourage you to see that and come to that knowledge. My question these last two is that, are we more worried about our own feelings. That's really, I think, what denominations are about. I think it's, well, I'm going to do it my way, and so we're going to start churches. That's why we keep getting them. If we'd get back to the basics of preach Jesus, live under the power of the Holy Spirit like God tells us to, we'd all get along. But the problem is Bill Neal's personal opinion is better than John Smith's personal opinion. The book says it's not. But sometimes I've got flesh in me too, and I have to deal with it. Some of us have to take the flesh and throw it at the altar of God the first time when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. I had to do that when I became a pastor. Because I thought, this is what God wants me to do. I had my life planned out my way. And God shook me up and said, no, we're going to do it my way. And I finally, after 20 years, agreed. And said, yes, sir, I will do it. I'm not saying I wasn't saved, but to be in the ministry, that's what I had to do. And I laid it all on the altar, and I said, Lord, it is yours. My life is yours. And praise the Lord, He called me 2 miles from my house. Didn't know it was going to happen. I told Him I'd go anywhere, and this is where He called me. But as long as He called me, I promised Him one thing. I was going to preach His word. And it might not be in fancy words with fancy things, but it's going to be Jesus. So all I want you to see is what we're going to sing in this song, near the cross, near the cross. In the shadow of the cross, hide me. Church, I hope that's our prayer. Maybe today you need to come and confess something and turn it over to God, that you've got something that's keeping you from truly worshiping Him. Then today is the day to do it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for today. Lord, if there's any in this room that have never, they're like, preacher, I just don't understand. Let them understand that right now all they have to do is realize that they admit that they're a sinner. That they're sinful people by nature. Fallen mankind. And because of that, there needed a way to get to a holy and righteous God. And His requirement was a blood sacrifice. And He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever would believe in Him shall be saved. And have eternal life. All you have to do is realize you're a sinner. Confess Him as Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive your sins. And ask Him to be your Savior. That's all it takes. It's that simple. It's a relationship starting. You're making a commitment that from this day forward, I'm going to be a child of God. The first step after doing that is you need to follow in believer's baptism. Confessing to men, I have accepted Christ. I have accepted Him as my Lord. He is Lord of my life from this day forward. That's all it takes. But then the process is we begin to mature. We begin to grow. Just as a babe begins to walk and go to solider food and solider things to do in his life, that's what we're to do as Christians. Lord, today that would take place in some lives. But most of us, we've got that. But maybe there's something that's causing problems in our lives and we need to just cast it at your altar and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm laying it before you. Maybe it's jobs. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's something we're doing that we need to just lay. Lord, it's yours. I'm giving it up. Whatever it might be, today's the day. And Lord, today as we sing this song, please hide us in the shadow of your cross. But draw us near to that cross that we know it's the only thing that we can do. Father, I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.